Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. When someone asked Jesus, what's the most important thing in the whole Bible? Jesus didn't hesitate. Love God. We pray this season of the podcast will help you and your loved ones grow in love for God.
When's the last time you enjoyed the presence of the Holy Spirit? You actually felt His presence and it was so delightful to your soul that you're really looking forward to the next time. When's the last time that happened to you? And when it happens, how do you know for sure it's the Holy Spirit? How can you tell? And how? What could you do to make it happen more often? What we found in this study is the key to increasing your love for God is having satisfying, delightful, joy-producing experiences of His presence. And we studied how to do that with the Father, we found how to do it with the Son, and now we want to turn our attention to how do you do that with the Holy Spirit? How do you draw near to Him and have fellowship with Him? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, any comfort from His love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Now in that section there, he mentions five things. The first two are things that you feel. The last two are things that God feels. He feels tenderness and compassion. And as a result, you feel encouragement and comfort when that middle one is there. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's in the middle, and it's fitting that it would be in the middle because it's only through fellowship with the Holy Spirit that God's tenderness and compassion toward you create encouragement and comfort in your heart. It's only when you have fellowship with the Spirit that happens. He's the connection. The Holy Spirit is the connection. It's the way that we receive all that God gives us. Now, Scripture also speaks of fellowship with the Father. It speaks of fellowship with the Son in places, but most of the time, fellowship with God is conceived in terms of fellowship with the Holy Spirit because the most immediate, direct connection with God that we have is through the Spirit. If you picture God as being way up in heaven, God the Father, and if you picture Jesus as standing between earth and heaven with one hand on the Father and one hand on us, you can picture the Holy Spirit as being inside you, your heart, close, nearby. Spirit is always the one spoken of in Scripture in the most nearby and close and immediate, direct terms. Even in the creation account, you see this. God the Father on high, looking down on the creation, and then the Holy Spirit, where was He? Hovering over the waters. Right there, on sight, doing the direct work of the creation. And that's the same way God works with us, too. The Holy Spirit, God is in heaven, the Holy Spirit is right here, on sight, on location, doing the work. That's why Jesus calls the Holy Spirit in John 14 a counselor. In fact, just flip back a couple pages in your Bible to John chapter 14. Look at verse 16. John 14, 16. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Now, that word translated counselor refers to somebody who is called alongside, who just comes right alongside you to help you and strengthen you when you need help. Jesus had been doing that. He'd been right there alongside the apostles, helping them and strengthening them. Now He's about to leave, so He says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to send you a replacement, another counselor who will do this, and you'll actually be better off with that one. Go ahead and flip back to chapter 16, verse 13, John 16, 13. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Verse 14, He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and make it known to you. So, what the Holy Spirit does is takes grace from the Lord Jesus Christ and installs it into your heart. Okay? You can imagine grace as being like a computer program, computer software. The creator of the software is God the Father. The Son purchased He paid the purchase price for that software to get it for us. And the Holy Spirit is the one that takes it and installs it, makes it a part of you, installs it right into your heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's why our verse in 2 Corinthians 13:14 that we've been looking at says that the main thing that we get from the Father is love, the main thing that we get from the Son is grace, and the main thing we get from the Holy Spirit is fellowship. So what I want to do this morning is just take a look exactly what that fellowship looks like. And we're going to take the same approach that we did with the Father and Son. We're going to look first at what we receive from the Spirit, what He does towards us, and then we'll turn around and discover how we're to respond to that. I think you can boil down the work of the Spirit in Scripture in two basic headings. Number one, He makes us more holy. And number two, He powers the operation of the church. It's pretty much what the Holy Spirit does. Now that first one, making us holy, the big term for that in Scripture is sanctification. When you read about the Holy Spirit sanctifying us in the Bible, what that means is He's making us more godly, more holy, more righteous, more like Jesus Christ in our character. Second part, the empowering part, I'm going to hold off on that until next time. Next week we'll plan on talking about His empowering. But for this morning, let's zero in on that sanctifying part, Him making us more righteous, more holy, primarily, and the way He does it, primarily is through enlightenment. Enlightenment. I don't think any function is more closely connected to the Holy Spirit than that of enlightenment. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes. He turns on the light, enables us to see reality. That's what the Spirit does. Whenever you see the Holy Spirit described, you're always going to see in the context a whole lot of terms like enlightenment or light or knowledge or wisdom or insight or revelation or understanding. That all goes with it. Isaiah 11:2, for example, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So He's the Spirit of truth and knowledge. The night before Jesus died, which is when He made this all these comments in John 14 and 15 and 16, He told the disciples, look, I'm sending this other counselor. You're going to be better off with Him because of this enlightening ministry. And He went on to describe what the Spirit would do and basically said He's going to open our eyes to truth. Three times Jesus called Him the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth. That's the role that the Spirit will have. He'll testify to Jesus' words as being true, and then He'll convict the world of sin and generally guide God's people into truth. Look again at verse 12, John 16:12. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. Verse 14, He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. Now, we could easily do a long series of sermons on that, on what that looks like, what it looks like when the Holy Spirit takes from Christ and makes it known to us. What I'll do instead is just give you a few quick examples of Him doing that. One way the Holy Spirit does that, the way He enlightens us, the way He opens our eyes to reality, is by enabling us to see and appreciate God's glory, the reality of God's glory. All human beings are naturally blind to that. We're born blind to God's glory. You cannot appreciate. You take a person, it's like somebody who's physically blind. You take someone who's physically blind, put them in front of the most spectacular sunset ever that's ever happened, and it has zero impact on his emotions, right? Has zero impact on the way he feels. No impact at all, because he can't appreciate it. He can't see it. Take him to the rim of the Grand Canyon. Set him there. Nothing. Nothing. No response. No impact. That's how we naturally are with the glory of God. God's glory is awesome. It is thrilling if you see it. But we're naturally blind to it. All people are naturally blind to it. So they come to church and they hear a sermon about the wonders of God's glory, and the whole time they're just looking at the clock wondering, when is this going to be over? I want to get home and watch a game. And it's boring to them. It's boring. They don't feel any sense of awe at all. They're not rattled. They're not filled with joy. They're not amazed. They're not delighted. They're not even intrigued. They're not even interested. The most spectacular, most beautiful, most pleasing, most interesting reality in all existence placed right in front of their face and nothing. No, just like the blind man at the sunset, nothing. That's because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ. They just can't see it. They're blind. When your spiritual eyes are blind, you can read the Bible. You can understand the words. You can understand the sentences. You can follow the logical flow. You can get the point. You can make accurate interpretations. But you're blind to the beauty of it. You just can't see the beauty. You can comprehend the meaning of the words, but you can't delight in them and welcome them into your heart. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him." Remember last week when I was talking about the difference between agreeing with something in an intellectual way on the one hand, but not really having it sink down into your heart so that it becomes part of the fabric of your being and your outlook on life. It's not ingrained in your belief system deep enough to affect how you feel about things and the way that you think about things, your attitudes. When a truth is accepted into the heart so thoroughly that it becomes a part of who you are, that's what 1 Corinthians 2:14 means by that word, accept. That's what you cannot do. A spiritually blind person can't do that. Doesn't have the ability to do it unless the Holy Spirit comes along and opens his eyes. Enlightens him. So the Spirit opens our eyes to the reality of God's glory so that it actually strikes wonder and awe and joy in the heart and thrills and interests and satisfies the soul. That's what the Spirit does.
Thank you for listening. We would love to hear from you. Your thoughts about the materials in these studies are important to us, and they may be helpful for others as well. A link to this podcast is posted on the Food for Your Soul Facebook page every weekday morning. You're invited to follow that page and post your reactions to that day's content. Your perspectives might be just what someone else needs to gain insight. And when a session is especially helpful, feel free to click on the share button so others can find it too.
This content has been provided to you free of charge by the generous supporters of Food for Your Soul Ministries. For information on how you can support Food for Your Soul, visit us online at treasuringgod.com. There you'll find over 1,000 sermons, as well as articles, books, and many other resources, all available for free download.
Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.